I think people really, really underestimate how much mindset is a part of this. I think people just think it's you eat the right calories and you go work out and like you'll have the body of your dreams and you'll feel great about yourself. And it's like, honestly, the journey is, I would say 90%.
Hey, I'm Jackie Kirshen, obsessed with all things sustainable weight loss, mindful eating, transforming minds, and empowering you. I'm a registered dietitian and mom who's lost 65 pounds and grew a successful coaching business helping other women do the same. Join me to learn tried and true weight loss secrets while healing your relationship with food and your body. You'll get unfiltered real talk, support, and some tough Jackie love as we dive into motherhood, mindset shift, entrepreneurship, and mastering this crazy thing called life. Think of this as your one-stop shop for a coffee date with your best friend, guide, and mentor mixed with weight loss coaching. Tune in to be challenged, encouraged, and laugh as we change lives together. Welcome to the Mindful Nutritionist Show. Hey guys, welcome back to the Mindful Nutritionist Show. It's your host, Jackie Kirshen, and I just wanted to check in to see how are you doing? So I know that the new year is finally passed and a lot of us are feeling like, okay, well, we wanted to do these things and we haven't done them. And I wanted to ask, how are you feeling in terms of your goals? Because as you know, here at the Mindful Nutritionist Show, we are not about being on and off the bandwagon. So I just wanted to check in because this is going to be an incredibly powerful episode with Bree, who is one of my dear friends. I love her, an online health and wellness fitness expert, and she is going to be dropping so many golden nuggets, starting from when she was in her own fitness days, bodybuilding, all to really healing her relationship with food and her body and in between. So if you are feeling like, okay, the newness of the new year is totally worn off and you are like, okay, I am ready to actually finally do something that is sustainable, this podcast episode is for you. So I am so excited for you to dive in and let's get on with the show. Okay. And we have Bree here. I am so excited to have you on the podcast. Welcome to the Mindful Nutritionist Show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
It's so excited. So I remember when I first came across your Instagram and I was like, holy shit, I need to be friends with that girl. Immediate follow, immediate DM, and the rest is history.
Yeah, the rest is history. I love it. And I'm so happy. But I'm sure you probably haven't said anything to the audience. There's not really a reason to tell everyone, but this is actually the second time that we are filming because the first time I didn't have internet and we're like, well, let's just jump on a call anyways. And we got talking about podcast stuff and it was awesome. And then we're like, you know what? Even though we didn't have internet and we had to do it over like a phone FaceTime, like this was still a good conversation. And now we're officially filming the podcast. So,
and so I also hope that shows like the human being that Bree is, because she was kind enough to be like, Jackie, I don't want to like mess up your podcast. And I was like, well, I still really want to talk to you and we have this scheduled, so why not? And she was so kind to come back on officially. So that just shows like the good human that she is.
Thank you.
I love it. Well, other than being a good human, you are here obviously for being a good human and because I love you, but also like just how much you bring into the health and wellness and fitness industry. And we align so much on our values. So why don't you tell the audience a little bit about who you are and how you got here?
Yeah. I'll kind of go with like the brief short, I don't know, short version. Anyways, who I am, how I got here. My name's Bree. I live in Dallas, Texas. I'm a very proud Texan. I would say fitness and nutrition has been a part of my life for most of my life. I grew up in a family that was very conscientious of their health. They definitely prioritized, you know, eating well and exercising, and maybe not always for the best reasons. I think there's definitely some like, you know, body stuff, insecurities, you know, fear of certain ingredients and food that wasn't really necessary. But overall, like the purpose behind how I grew up was, you know, health was a priority. And I think like, as I got older, I had to really decide like what that meant for me, because, you know, at some point gotten to the part of like, I had to eat clean and I need to do this and I need to exercise more and I need to exercise to burn off calories. And like, that was just becoming a really toxic cycle. And I think finally being like, okay, well, what's fitness for me? And I think it took a really long time for me to figure out that, but it's so much more holistic than just like having a salad and going for a run. It's also mindset and how you talk to yourself, how you treat yourself and what you can do. Like if someone works out 5 days a week, but you only can work out three, awesome. Then work out three. That's better than nothing, doing something over nothing. So I think it was this ever evolution of, you know, growing up with what I thought health was, and then going through my own journey. I went through like, I did bodybuilding competition. That's a whole story. And I was like, man, my coach knew nothing. Like I need to figure this stuff out myself. And then finding food freedom and actually able to enjoy my favorite foods. And then being like, wow, like I would love to help other women find food freedom and be able to have a cookie and not feel like they need to go run it off for an hour and that whole toxic cycle. So I hope that kind of gives a little in a nutshell my story and who I am.
So. I love it. I love it. I feel like it's so interesting that all of the people who are now health coaches have been through their own from both sides. I have, you have, many of the people who have been, you know, on this podcast. And it's so crazy because it shouldn't have to be that way. Right. Yeah. But of course there's diet culture and all of these things that you mentioned. So now that you brought up the bodybuilding, I do want to talk about that because who doesn't want it? So tell us about, like, first of all, why the hell did you want to do that?
What was that like? So I think when you first, at least, so I started lifting weights in like fall of 2012. So like this is 11 years ago.
Wow.
And the Instagram space was a lot different back then. It was really the fitness people that were online were bodybuilders, like plain and simple. And so I'll never forget, I was on Instagram, and previously I've been chasing like as skinny as I could possibly get, as light as I possibly can get. And then I saw Jamie Easton Middleton. She's an OG bodybuilder, woman's fitness person. I was like, I want to look like her. And just completely, I was like, and this is when meal plans and workouts were free on bodybuilding.com. Like that's how long ago this was. They're not free anymore. And so I followed her workout program. I followed her eating stuff. And like, it was pretty generic. It was like 5 ounces of chicken and, you know, a cup of broccoli. Like it wasn't anything like crazy or special. And so I started doing that. And I think at that time, like the pinnacle of fitness was like competing. And so I was like, man, well, I've been working out for 2 years. Like I eat broccoli and chicken. Like the next step obviously is like to go compete, you know, like that's just how it works. And so I went and hired a coach. She was a very like old school. Now that looking back, she's a very old school coach. Like she had competed back in like the 80s and the 90s. And I say that because her approach to nutrition was I wasn't allowed to season any of my food. I'd eat boiled cod, boiled broccoli and apples. That's all I remember of what I was allowed to eat. There may have been a few other things, but that's all I was allowed to eat.
Oh,
I had to work out lift weights 5 days a week and do cardio twice a day every day. And one of my cardios had to be running bleachers. And I was competing in September. So this is during the summer of Texas. Jeez. So I'm running bleachers in 100 degrees at SMU Stadium up and down. And you know, at the time I'm looking like, yeah, hardcore, like, and it is a sport. We have to recognize it as a sport and people do more extreme things for that. But I started doing that. And then I'll never forget, I really struggled, understandably so. I did lose weight, obviously, because I was eating nothing but boiled cod, broccoli, and apples. It was it's 3 weeks before my competition. I texted my coach, you know, I've been following people on Instagram and like, if it fits your macros was kind of coming to the scene. I was like, this is so weird. These other competitors, they're eating cookies. And like, yeah, they're having broccoli and chicken and stuff, but they're also having like enjoying a cupcake here and there. Like, how are they allowed to do this? I was like, you know what? Like, it's all about it being fitting your macros and hitting your calories. Like, interesting. And so I was like, let me add up how many calories I have in a day. Cause I'd weigh out, you know, a certain amount of ounces of fish and a certain amount of ounces of broccoli. And I was eating 800 calories every single day is what she had me on. So I texted her and I was like, hey, and I still have I've never deleted her text. And I don't know why. I probably like something I need to process with a therapist, to be honest, but like, I could probably pull it up. But like, I text her something around the realms of like, hey, I'm just curious, like, why you have me doing this? Why am I running? Why am I doing cardio 2 times a day? I added my calories. I'm only eating 800. Like, what's the method behind your madness? And I said it in a very respectful way. Shamila comes back and she's like, you know, Brie, like, I'm just really, really busy. And I just don't think this is going to be a good fit. And like, I wish you all the best. But I just don't have the time to be coaching you for a competition right now.
Oh,
freaked out. I was like, I'm so sorry. Did I offend you? I was just, I like to ask questions. Like, I'm just very curious. Like, I'm so sorry. And she's like, no worries. Like, I wish you all the best. Left me high and dry 3 weeks before my competition. I still stepped on stage. I still competed. I didn't even place. And I ended up gaining 30 pounds right after that because I developed a horrible relation with food. Of course, I had been eating cod and broccoli and apples for the last 12 to 16 weeks. I don't remember the time frame it was. And I just gained 30 pounds right after that because I finally got to enjoy food again. And so after that moment, it made me realize that, like, just because you're a coach doesn't mean you know shit, you know? And that was my initial drive to finally, and I was a bio major at the time. I was in college as a bio major. And so I was like, I am going to figure out how this works on my own, because clearly just because you have a title doesn't mean that you know anything. And so that was my drive to, like, really, I mean, not only diving into my studies because I wanted to get my degree, but diving into my studies, you know, with a bio major, you can pick kind of elective classes. I dove into all the nutrition classes, and then really was like, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to, you know, and that kind of started I hate that that happened to me, but it's what fueled the fire at the same time when I really look back at my journey. So that's the whole spiel on the bodybuilding stuff.
Oh my God. If you guys are not watching the video of this, please go and watch probably my facial expressions. Holy shit. I had no idea that happened. I mean, so first of all, the fact that you're even just like kind of talking nicely about her, like you're not even just like this effing bitch.
Yeah. Mama. I mean, like,
oh wow. Yeah. I would be mad. Well, first of all, like the fact that you still went on stage, you still pushed through. I mean, good for you. It's like, I started this, but so tell me, I mean, it's logical that you all of a sudden was like, I can eat a cookie. I can eat 30 cookies. And that happened. Yeah. How did you pull yourself out of that? And how did you find that balance to where you are today?
Yeah, I feel like I try to preach this a lot, but it's always applying logic to your emotions. Like, you can feel a certain type of way, but it's until you bring logic in to be like, okay, are my emotions like valid? And valid's like probably the wrong term to use. Your emotions are always valid. How you feel is always valid, but is it reality is probably the better way to say it. And so I think for me, and I hope this is answering the question, but how I navigated, like, okay, like I can eat a cookie and not feel guilty. It's because, okay, let's eat the cookie. Let's see if, like, oh, you can really track calories and track protein and still lose weight. It's like, okay, I've eaten a cookie every single day for the last 4 weeks and I'm down 4 pounds. Like, I'm putting the logic and the data to combat how I feel emotionally about a cookie. And I'll be honest, my journey started out with it. I think if it fits your macros, gets a bad rap nowadays. And like, yeah, you can take it to an extreme. You can eat total shit all the time. Totally. That was me. But honestly, that was kind of part of my healing journey. I needed to see that I could have Chick-fil-A and then go have a cookie and then for dinner, have some pizza. Again, I probably wasn't making it that extreme. I was probably having like eggs and toast and stuff for breakfast, Chick-fil-A for lunch, and then having like pasta for dinner. And there's nothing unhealthy about pasta. Pasta is great. But to me, I was only eating healthy for breakfast. And so I needed to kind of full force go into if it's your macros to really see like, wow, I don't have to be afraid of food. And so it's through the trial and error of applying logic to how I felt that I really feel like I navigated that. And then I think finding balance is a whole nother journey. Like, I have to remember this was 2012 and like it took years for me to find balance because you're constantly combating what society tells you, how you feel about that, things that you grew up that maybe your parents said or they pushed into you. And so you're combating all of that, granted on your own, I'd have a coach and trying to navigate all that and to figure that out. Does that help to answer the question?
It doesn't even matter. Okay. That was a beautiful answer.
Thank you. Thank you.
And it's, you know, it's something that I tell my clients all the time, facts over feels, right?
Yeah,
and so when we get into the mindset, we talk about exactly what you said, like you need to feel your feelings. Like it's valid.
They're valid.
But I always tell my clients, you are not staying down there. Like it's totally how you pull yourself out. So when I talk about, you know, my journey, I think it's very similar to you. I mean, you're not healed 100%.
No,
you're not right. Like you still
totally.
So why don't you tell? Because I know that that's something that I've always been a little kind of conflicted. Like, well, I can't tell people I'm struggling because, like, I'm the weight loss coach. I'm the mindful nutritionist. Like, people look at me and like da da da. And I'm like, no, I'm human. I still struggle with a lot of these things. I've pretty much taken my eating disorder and plopped it into my business. Like, So I'm very open with that kind of stuff because it's a part of the healing journey. So why don't you walk us through the up and down and up the down and how you got to that balance?
Yeah. It's so funny that you said that, like talking about what you still struggle with, because I literally typed out a podcast title for my podcast of like things that I currently still struggle with and want to talk through that. But like kind of going through like how I navigated all the struggles, I think people really, really underestimate how much mindset is a part of this. I think people just think it's you eat the right calories and you go work out and like you'll have the body of your dreams and you'll feel great about yourself. And it's like, honestly, the journey is, I would say 90%, but like, dude, I am like this close to saying 99% all the time now. Like if you can navigate your mindset, hitting the protocols that you've set for yourself for your goals, whatever that may be, whether that's, you know, eating a few veggies, whether you're on the tracking calories, whether you're trying to do intuitively, whatever your system is for achieving your goals. If you can hit the mindset stuff, nailing that is almost the easy part. And so for me, it was constantly, I'm trying to think of like how I think the different mindset things that I went through. I think one of the mindset things that I went through was negotiating with myself. It was always like, okay, I'm going to go work out today. And I'm like, well, I'm really tired. I don't really want to. I'll just do it tomorrow. Yeah. And then tomorrow would come. I'm like, well, I'm kind of busy with like school and stuff. So like, I'm just going to push it. And then it's like, you know, I was in college at the time when I started all this. And then you keep pushing it off and you're like, well, crap, it's Saturday and I had 4 workouts and I only have 2 days to complete my workouts. Like I pushed it off all week. And so I started being like, okay, no more negotiating with yourself. Like if you say you're going to, first of all, you're teaching yourself that your word means nothing.
Yeah.
And so if you say I'm going to work out on Tuesday, well, you actually don't really know if you are because you don't hold to your word. And so I was like, okay, if I say I'm going to work out on Tuesday, I'm going to work out on Tuesday. I'm going to pick the time. I'm going to pick the place. And I'm going to treat that just as important as any other appointment. You know, if I schedule an appointment with the wonderful person, Perry, I'm going to shout her out, who does my hair, I'm not going to cancel on her the minute of. I'm only going to cancel on her if something very, very crazy comes up. And if something does come up, I'm paying her my no-show fee. You know what I mean? Like I value her time. Granted, you can talk about your kids or your husband or whatever, but like, granted, I'm the most important person in my life for argument's sake.
Yes.
Why am I canceling on myself like this? Why am I treating myself like this? And so I try to, when I say I'm going to do something, I follow through with it. And that was really important to my journey because I kept saying things that I would do and not following through on them because I negotiate with myself. And now I'm to a point in my journey, I'm still not perfect on this, where I still negotiate, but I have I draw the line. So like, if I was like, let's say this morning, you know, I was supposed to go work out this morning. I did, but let's just say I didn't. It's like, okay, you don't have to work out this morning, but you do have to find a time this afternoon. Is that after the podcast? Is that tonight at 6:30 when, you know, the rest of the work crowd's going to be there, you know, saying that purposely, like, do you want to do this? Because I do have the luxury of going whenever I want. So yeah. I'm like, that's fine. You don't have to work out this morning, but you do have to go today. And again, this is granted that I'm not going through like a death in the family or like something tragic is happening. I want people to know, like, I'm not psychotic about it. Like I understand I'm a human being and I can have feelings. But I'm very, very, maybe I almost wrap this up. And like, I try to be really, really honest with my conversation. That was probably my biggest struggle, is like being honest. It's like, okay, you keep negotiating with yourself. And we negotiate with ourselves because in the short term, you get this short little dose of like dopamine. Like you didn't go work out, but I rescheduled it. So I feel satisfied versus not working out and not fulfilling it. And then you feel bad about it. So you're like, how can I not work out, but still feel good about not fulfilling what I told myself I would? Oh, I'm just going to reschedule it. But then in turn, that just snowballs into you not trusting yourself. So I feel like there's a lot of mindset I've been through, but that's a pretty big one. If I think about it, does that all make sense?
Yeah. I think that's like a really great podcast title. It's like, don't cancel on yourself. Like, yeah, you know, just like,
totally.
And it's so funny because I feel like people mistake that with not having motivation, willpower, totally, discipline. And guys, it really is stemming from the stories and the conversation that you're having in your head.
Yeah,
I'm totally gonna do it tomorrow. I'm gonna do it tomorrow. I'm gonna do it on Monday. I'm gonna do it on January 1st. And
yeah,
who is that person?
Yeah.
Do you like that version of that person? And if you don't be that person and start acting like the person you want to be. That person that says, you know what, maybe I'll go on a walk. Maybe if I don't even go to the gym. So
do something. Yeah.
Do something.
Totally.
It's so interesting because we always talk about self-talk, but I don't think we talk about it in the way that you just brought it up. It's like, would you cancel on your girlfriend that it's waiting at Starbucks with you?
Yeah,
because literally sitting there.
You're not canceling 30 minutes ahead of time going to the gym. You're canceling the second that you need to leave, or you push it off and wait till the actual time you need to be at the gym and then you cancel. You need to make sure you're looking at it that way. You would not be canceling on your friend the second you were supposed to be there, but you do it to yourself every day, day after day. And it's just like, why would we do that to ourselves? Even though I started weightlifting in like 2012, it wasn't until 2017 that I actually really got serious about my goals. So started in 2012, I turned 21, and this is relevant to the story, turned 21 in 2015 Whatever. Anyways, right before my 21st birthday in 2015, I was like, I'm going to get in the best shape of my life. I'm going to do it. And this is the year I'm going to commit. And so I gave myself a year and I got to my 21st birthday. I was in the exact same situation that I was before. And I was like, okay, like I'll keep going. And year after year after year, it kept happening. And then it was like 2017. So it was roughly like maybe 2018, like three-ish years after. And it was like my 25th birthday. So yeah, that's 4 years, whatever. I don't know what birthday it was. Anyways, I got to another birthday and I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot. When I was 21, I made this commitment that I'd be in the best shape of my life. And here I am 3 years later and nothing has changed. Like light bulb went off. And I was like, how many years am I going to keep doing this of making excuses, of renegotiating with myself, pushing every single day that I push off that I don't follow through with the commitments I made to myself. I'm making it take that much longer. And that was my light bulb moment to where, again, I started in 2012. This was 2017. It took 5 years of me navigating stuff by myself to finally have a mindset breakthrough of like, dude, I'm so tired of year after year after year. I never fulfill what I say I'm going to do for myself. Like either do it or don't. And I know that sounds like a very like extreme like mindset, but I think there are some people out there that need to hear this because I went through this. Like I just kept making, again, I really hope I don't want to come off as like, again, death in the family. You have your wedding, you're on your honeymoon. Like who cares? Like, don't work out. Don't worry about food. Like enjoy honeymoon, wedding, or grieve the loss of a family. Like I absolutely take that time. But when it comes to the grand whole spectrum of things, like how many years have you been, do you remember the last time that you weren't dieting? That's a question I'll ask a lot of people. Questions like, I can't remember, like when I was at that point, I can't remember the last time I wasn't trying to chase fat loss.
Yeah.
And I think that just shows how long I had been not following through with my goals. And it's like, either do it or accept that whatever else in life is more important, which is totally fine, and enjoy your life at maintenance. Quit trying to like spin the wheels, trying to be a deficit, but you're not in a deficit. So I know I went on a spiel there, but it's just like, I felt very passionate saying that.
I love that. First of all, I love the fact that you just brought in the Yiddish word and saying spiel. And so
that's a Yiddish word?
Oh,
yeah. I didn't know that.
You honorary
spiel.
Jew.
Yeah, look at me. Are. I love it. Spiel.
This is why I love her. But again, so it's like, you know, you guys are not understanding why do I keep doing this to myself? Yeah. That is literally why you are doing it to yourself. Stop negotiating with yourself. Like it's so, so powerful. And I don't think I've ever heard anyone say it that way. So I'm hoping that someone just had that light bulb moment that took
a different
5 years. Yeah. That just like, wow. Yes. And, but that's why we need to have these conversations, because it was the same thing as me. You know, 2012 was my, how old was I? Sorry. It was my bat mitzvah. It was like 2004. Okay. I was 12 years old, started Weight Watchers. My parents took me. And then, you know, it wasn't until I was 19 years old that when I was diagnosed as pre-diabetic and non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, that was my
wake up call.
I need to do something. I literally had two choices. It's so funny. I feel like I'm having a light bulb moment. Like you too. I had two choices.
Yeah.
I could either be diabetic or I could not.
Yeah.
Which way was I going
to
go?
And that's what I think a lot of people who eventually find success, and it's sad that we have to get to that point. It's sad that we have to find a rock bottom point, but it's either like do it or don't. Like either like stop being lukewarm almost. And again, it's okay to be like, I want people to understand it's not you like go for a bodybuilding competition or be super sick and overweight. Like it's not that. Like everyone's fitness is going to look different in how that looks, but it's like, okay, if you're going to try and let's do something really simple. If you're going to try to eat one vegetable a day, either eat one vegetable a day or don't, or like, you know, or actually take down the goal, do it 3 times a week. Like you, it's about having those honest conversations with yourself. And also I think realizing that like, just because you're not eating one vegetable every day, you had 3 vegetables this week and previously you weren't eating any. That's a step towards eating vegetables every day by just doing it 3 times a week when previously you weren't doing it at all. You know, I have a clients that'll come to me and like, they'll be frustrated in their progress. And I'm like, let me take a second right now. What were you doing before we started together? They're like, well, I wasn't eating vegetables. I wasn't working out. I wasn't doing like, okay, do you see how far we've come? You were doing nothing. And now we're doing not only something, but a lot more than that. Yes, we have room for improvement. We can talk about that, but stop being so hard on yourself and realize what you are doing now, what you weren't doing 6 weeks ago. And that's a lot of change right there.
Oh, I love it. It's a book that really transformed the way that I started to see my progress was, and again, this was recently, guys, The Gap Versus the Gain. And so exactly what you were just talking about, it's measuring our progress from where we started versus where we are today, living in that gain versus the gap is saying, okay, I'm here and I haven't done all of those things. And it's focusing on all those things that I haven't done. So I love when you bring up showing people their progress, and none of that was how many pounds have you lost, right? How many, like those numbers. So when it comes to people measuring their progress, or even just like back up a little bit, setting their goals, how do you support? Because I'm sure a lot of women come to you are like, I want to lose fat. I want to lose weight. I want to look sexy. I want to fit into my bikini. I want to eat all the foods. It's like, I'm going to do it all. How do you even get started on just any realistic goals?
That's such, I feel like such a massive question, because everyone's going to be in a different spot. You know, I have some people that come to me like just wanting to lose weight for a wedding. There's nothing wrong wanting to lose some weight for your wedding or an event or whatever, or just because you want to be healthier. Like, that's fine. And we start out with, you know, for my approach, we do tracking calories and protein. And then honestly, from there, them setting their goals really evolves once we start working together, because then I start to learn their personality and realize, like, I mean, and some I have clients where it's like, I want to eat more vegetables, like those easy things. But I feel like a lot of the goals that my clients end up setting that end up being really, really transformative, and I know this doesn't quite answer the question, but really happens as I learn more about them. And it's like, oh, okay. So the issue isn't that you need to lose weight, because we've actually lost, like, for example, had a check-in today. Love this client. She is so fantastic. I love her. We've had a lot of mindset wins, and she expressed, and she said on her check-in, I'm being fully transparent right now. So I know that she knows better, but she just wanted to communicate to me. She's like, I'm really frustrated that I haven't hit the 130s yet. And we're coming to the end of my weight loss thing. And then on the next line, she put her wins for the week, and she put, I'm swimming in 27s as far as like as a jean size. And it's like, interesting how you can be frustrated that you're not in the 130s, but you're having to go down a pant size. Do we see the issue here?
Yeah.
We have a mindset issue of what success looks like in your weight loss. And it's like, and for her, it is an aesthetic thing. Like, she is already super jacked and lean, and she purely came to me because she wanted to get leaner. And there's nothing wrong with having an aesthetic goal. But in that, we need to be really, really careful that we are not diving into a obsessiveness of either a number or how I look or a scale. And so it's like, it's so, I was like, I saw my check-in with her. I was like, I know you probably know this, but I want to point this out just in case you don't realize this. Is it about the number on the scale, or is it about how you're feeling in your clothes? Because about the number on the scale, we can cut sodium out of your diet today for the rest of the week, and you'll lose 10 pounds by next week. Like, is it about the number, or is it about the way that you're wanting to fit and feel in your clothes, how you feel about your body, all that kind of stuff? And so what were we talking about? Goals, setting goals. So through certain stuff like that. So it might be like, okay, let's set a goal to, you know, maybe we don't weigh in for X amount of time or whatever it may be. Or, you know, I have some clients where they just want to be in a deficit all the time. And it's just like, you know what? Like, you've never been at maintenance. You've never learned how to just enjoy. I have a client right now. She's, in her upper 60s. So she comes from very much the culture of trying to be as small as possible. And if you just lose more weight, you'll be happier and you'll like your body better. And she's thin. Like, she's a normal weight, and she just keeps wanting to get thinner. And we had to have the hard conversation of like, look, The body that you desire is an able body as you're getting older. And that comes from building muscle. We're not going to be building muscle very fast, hardly at all, if we're going to stay in this deficit.
Yeah.
We should really go to maintenance. And she's like, you're right. Like the life I desire. And she's like, I can't remember the last time I wasn't pursuing trying to lose weight. And so we're slowly bringing her to be at maintenance and look and see like how wonderful being at maintenance, how much better she's going to feel and how much better she's going to sleep and how better she's going to work out and be stronger. And so I know that doesn't answer the question of like, how do I set goals? But it's like, they're pretty, I feel like for clients, if I'm going to answer the question, we set them pretty generically. Because I think a lot of people don't understand the deep under the underlying reason of why they're pursuing the goals they're pursuing, whether they're healthy or not.
Yeah.
They don't understand the underlying, or it may not be that they have a bad reason. I could have a client that goes, hey, I just want to get leaner because I want to look this way. Cool. That's awesome. But as we pursue that, we need to have a healthy mindset about it. And they uncover like, oh, wow. Yeah. I wanted to be leaner, but it's because I have societal or I have trauma with my mom and she always comments about how I look. That's why I want to be leaner, not because I actually want to be leaner. And we uncover those things and then we set mindset goals from there. So
yeah.
We set generic goals and then through that we dig out deeper goals. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it's so interesting because I feel like I have those same conversations in my check-ins. I just had someone who also is so stuck on the number and it was, you know, a few pounds, but it was the inches and it was the pant size as well. And just totally discounting that. I was like, hold on. Like you said, like at the top I have, you know, their win and then I have their struggle. I'm like, how did we get to the struggle where you just literally celebrated? Like I have someone who just hit, you know, she's down like 9% body fat this entire year. And we're still struggling with the scales. Like, so I always tell people, if you have external validators, external measurements of success that you were constantly chasing, just like you were with your bodybuilding, just like you were with macro, like numbers and things like that.
Yeah.
You will constantly be disappointed because you'll keep chasing and chase. And guess what? What happens when you reach it?
Then you're not satisfied.
Yeah, you're never.
Yeah. I had the thought process just this morning of like, when is it finally enough?
Yeah.
You know, it's like I have been in this for 10 years and I recognize that I'm in a body that there are people that desire this body. I am able body, you know, the way I look, whatever. But sometimes I'm just like, I do feel satisfied. I feel like I've really, really worked on, that's something I've worked on is like over the past couple of years, it's really my body confidence. And that started with my whole mantra. If people have been following me, is like, wear the damn shorts. I never wore shorts. I hated my legs. And that started because my mom always talked about how much she hated her legs and people always commented how much I look like my mom. And so I think internally I put those two together. And so of course, like I played volleyball, so I had to wear shorts, but I hated it. And finally I was like, that's it. Like I'm wearing shorts for starting from May until the end of summer. I have to wear shorts for every single workout. And I made it. I had one exception because I didn't have any clean shorts. I had to wear leggings one time. And it's magical how my legs haven't like, they've changed because I've gotten a little more muscular and stuff like that. But like, they're the same legs. And I feel nothing anymore now when I wear shorts just because I embraced wearing them and like pushing through that. I don't know where I was going with this. What were we talking about previously?
I love it. Again, it doesn't even matter because it's
when's enough enough? When's enough enough? Yeah. And so I now like feel confident. So those are things that I'm working through of like body confidence. But I'm like, man, like I'm just finishing up a fat loss phase. And it's like, oh, and then I went to a bulk from that. And dude, going through a bulk is a whole nother thing where I purposely am gaining weight to put on muscle. And like, I really try to embrace like, instead of seeing this as like, oh, this is a portion of my life where I'm gaining body fat. This is a portion of life where I'm building muscle. I'm building an able body. This muscle is going to be here for when I'm in my 60s. Like this is a long con goal and readjusting that. And then now going into losing that body fat from the bulk, it's just like, okay, will ever be enough? You know? Yeah. And I do feel like I've come to a healthy spot, but I just have to wonder, I'm like, yeah, I feel great right now, but like, am I going to go the holiday season and then be like, ooh, I want to get a little leaner again. Like how, you know, stopping that cycle. And I think it takes a lot of time, you know, because like you said, you hit one goal, you want the next one. You know, I think about all the goals that I've set over time, like with my fitness, and I'm like, I'm just on to the next one and I have the next one. And there's nothing wrong with being wanting to evolve as a human and setting goals. But if you can't recognize where you've been from, that's where you get into that dangerous spot of like never being satisfied.
You know? I think that's so beautiful because I talked about it on my stories yesterday. I was just like, you know, what makes you truly happy? That is because so I'm going to be honest. I think like having a child is just what kind of like, no, literally you said you're taking care of yourself and your dog right now, right?
Yeah. Literally, she's right here.
I know. I didn't even realize that's so cute.
It's always on my lap. Always. I love that. Velcro.
I love it. I love it. But I do think Olivia was kind of like the catalyst that was just like, you are my everything and you are my world. And now my sole focus is making sure I'm not passing on those 20 plus years of disordered eating and all the shit that I 100%. Went through onto her. So I will say, I think I had like a literal like jolt that came out of me that epiphany, like, I just, like I can't, it's, I think also age and wisdom comes from it too. Like my goals when I was 22 is very different now that I'm 32. But I mean, I think it's also very valid, all of the things that you've been through. And I feel like every time you go through this, you're getting wiser and wiser. And the fact that you're able to drop those little seeds for your clients to pick up on, you don't learn that in school.
Yeah. Yeah. Very true. It's about, like you said, it's like it's getting older and wiser because I've allowed myself to fail. I've allowed myself to experience all these things and then look at them as not failures, but as learning opportunities. And if I can just always look at every opportunity as everything that happens to me as a learning opportunity, I'm always going to improve on things. And like you said, you made the note of like, your goals have changed over time. For me, it's like, yeah, I was so aesthetically focused, you know, when I was younger. And again, there's to a point, there's nothing wrong with having an aesthetic focus. But like now, that's just a bonus. Like I care about being strong. I care about enjoying food, enjoying time with friends. And if the pursuit of eating well and eating foods for not only for my body, but also for my soul and having fellowship and working out and caring about my cardio health and strength, if that results in like, I get, you know, a little bit of a booty, a little bit of shoulders, whatever, like awesome. But I'm just not as focused as that, as much as I used to be, you know, it's just that bonus that comes with just taking care of yourself.
And again, it comes from health. Like everything that you said was just being the healthiest version of yourself. So I wish I could pinpoint when the whole scale and when all of that came about and understanding. It's the same thing. I wish I could pinpoint when 1200 calories or 800 calories like became the norm and became the thing. So to see you come out of it is like a glimmer of hope, a light at the end of the tunnel. I do want to know, what is your most vulnerable learning lesson that you feel like you don't talk about a lot, but that you want to share that other people know that they can get to this place?
I mean, it kind of goes back. Honestly, like when you ask me that, my initial thought where that goes to is the mindset. We put so much value, and it even kind of comes down to like people think that they can like outwork like a bad diet or whatever. Like, oh, if I just go run 8-9 miles every single day, it'll outdo having, you know, eating terrible and how I feel my body. It's just like people put so much weight into the workouts. And then second, once they understand, okay, workouts aren't going to fix everything for me, then they put so much weight into the nutrition part. And then it's like, yeah, but you realize like a lot of this could be solved if you just had a better mindset. It really, I think, starts with mindset. I think that's so undervalued in the health and fitness space. Like me, like this is such a one-off like little example, but me wearing shorts, nothing changed besides me deciding to push myself through an uncomfortable summer. That's it. All I did was wear shorts for every single workout except for one. And I have now become more comfortable with my legs. And now I don't shy away from wearing shorts whenever I need to wear shorts. And now I'm to this point where I'm like, oh, that's right. How old am I? 29. 28 years of my life, I hated my legs. And for the first year of my entire life, and now 29 years, I actually don't think about my legs when I put shorts on. And the only difference, it wasn't the workout that changed things. It wasn't the diet that changed things. It was simply me pushing myself through a mindset thing. And I think if you can apply that to just everywhere in fitness, like how you view food, it's just like changing language of like cheat meals, like quit calling them cheat meals, quit calling it a free. I feel bad saying, do you say free meals? I figured he did it, but I was like, wow, I feel really bad if she does. I don't like the free meals because take that. What's the opposite of free? Prison or trapped.
Yeah.
What, like, it's less nutritious, more nutritious. This fuels my body. This fuels my soul. Like, this is in balance. Like, it's how you view, nothing about the cookie changed. You just realized, oh, the cookie's a little bit less nutritious than the broccoli. However, the cookie feeds my soul. The broccoli does not feed my soul, to be honest. Like, I can't stand vegetables, but I eat them because I'm a human being and because I'm an adult, honestly. Because I'm not a child, I eat my vegetables, you know? And so I really think the secret to your goals is really addressing your mindset. Because again, what clicked for me for mindset stuff was also having the honest conversation of like, quit negotiating with yourself. I didn't change anything about how I ate. I didn't change anything about how I worked out. I was already working out, lifting weights. I was already, you know, eating protein, veggies. I was tracking my calories, all that kind of stuff. I just was, it was a mindset thing. So I really think that's the key. And the hard part about that is we all have so much mindset stuff. Everyone's life is unique. Everyone's trauma is unique. And so navigating that can be difficult. And I can't give the right answer for everyone, but I think it's really looking internal to what the actual deeper issue and causes is for why you're not achieving your goals.
And it's getting a good fucking coach.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
There you go. And not that person that's going to text you and be like, sorry, peace out, goodbye.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. And I think that is your vulnerable like story to share. The shorts, like, I really hope my husband does not listen to this podcast episode, because then he's going to go, Jackie, see, you need to start wearing shorts, because he keeps telling me. And I have like the white pastiest legs. Yeah. And ever since I had Olivia, I have these like weird, they're not varicose veins.
They're like just veins coming up. Yeah.
Weird
yeah.
veins. Yeah. Because it was going to the placenta. Yeah. They've never gone away. And it's a cosmetic thing that I'm going to pay to like zap away my veins. And you just inspired me, because now I'm probably going to start wearing my shorts again. And
wear the damn shorts. You need to wear them. And when you're comfortable enough, post on Instagram, put hashtag wear the damn shorts. Tag me on it, because it's you know, it's funny that you feel so insecure about it. I bet you 9 out of 10 people who have had kids probably have the same thing on their legs. And all those women that you know, you've probably never noticed it either. You know, like, I don't walk into a gym and like a girl, like for me, it was cellulite specifically that I'm so insecure about. And I'm just like, I don't walk into a gym and notice when a girl is like, if I really think about it, I could look at somebody like, oh yeah, there is cellulite, but I never once thought about it unless I really had to think about it. Like, you, people don't notice that on you. Like you notice that stuff on yourself, you know?
Yeah. Oh my God. Wear the damn shorts. I love it. I love it. I love it. You are just such a gem, a breath of fresh air. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Where can everyone find you when they wear the damn shorts and they want to tag you?
Yes. You can find me on Instagram at Brianna Ray Fitness. I'm going to spell it out. So it's Brianna with two N's. So Briannna. Ray is Rae, not Ray. Fitness. You can find me on there. And then all my links for like website, podcast, all that stuff is on. So just find Instagram, click on the link in the bio, and there's other avenues that you can go down as well. So
I love it. She is just such a gem, and I'm so grateful. I feel like we definitely need part two, part three, part four, part five.
I love it.
And I just learned so much from you, and I'm so grateful for you.
Thank you so much for having me.
A powerful episode that was. I mean, Brie is just such an amazing human being, but such a freaking good coach. And I love what she said when she was essentially like, stop canceling yourself, right? Stop negotiating with yourself. So we hear this time and time again, and I'm sure that you are sitting there being like, yep, I do that. I want to do something and I say I'm going to do it. And then the last minute, I'm like, yeah, I'll do it later. Start Monday, start tomorrow. And it is so important that you guys know that if you want to set out to have these big, beautiful health goals, you have to start acting. It's not about discipline. It's not about willpower. It's not about motivation. Motivation comes from doing the dang thing. So I love all of the things that she talked about when it came from really understanding why. why are you working towards this health goal? And what do you want your health to look like? And it's not necessarily about the numbers, again, those external measurements of success. It's internally. It's what you feel and how do you want to feel and how do you want to show up for yourself? I feel like I learned so much, not only just for health and fitness, but even just for myself as a human being in my own business. So I hope that you enjoyed this episode just as much as I did. If you did, please don't forget to leave a 5-star rating and review. Let me know how much you loved this episode. Tag me and Bree so we can know how much you love this episode and if you want us to keep talking to help you really heal your relationship with food, your body, and shift your mindset so 2024 can be the final year when you don't have to keep worrying and working towards weight loss. I love it. I am so glad that you guys are here, and then I will see you next week. Until next time, I want you to keep reminding yourself that you can do this. Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed that conversation just as much as I did. As always, anything mentioned, any links, any notes will all be linked on our website, mindfulnutritionistshow.com. Just head on over there to take a look. And if you haven't connected with me yet personally, I would love to meet you. Come and find me on Instagram at the.mindful.nutritionist and please DM me. Let me know if you listened to the episode and what you thought. I seriously love hearing from you. Or come to the Mindful Nutritionist Show Facebook page and say hi. I would love to connect with you there. Thanks so much for being here and for being so amazing. I can't wait to chat next time.